This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Oh, there he is.
I'm trying to do eight things at once.
Hey, welcome in, Danny and Dusty with you. Happy Monday, everybody.
Glorious of Mondays.
July 1. We have turned over the calendar. Jeff Rust, I'd like a comment from you.
Holla at your boy.
It is July 1st,
mm-hmm.
And you often say summer does not start in Oregon until July 5th?
Yeah.
Have you looked at the forecast this week?
Well, okay.
Are we starting summer?
What I usually say is you cannot count on nice sunny weather until July 5th.
Well, it should be noted that July 5th, 95.
Mm-hmm.
July 6th, 102.
Yeah.
July 7th, 101.
Yeah, opening up the oven.
July 8th, 98 degrees.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we have 80 today, 75 tomorrow. Wednesday, 81. A very warm 89 on the 4th of July. So, I mean, Rust, I think that your comment would be, look at July 5th.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Summer's there.
Summer has started. All right. How's everybody doing? Everybody have a good weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a national holiday.
Yeah. NBA free agency starting.
Yes.
It was not the start that we've come accustomed to seeing.
The
start of free agency. The whole not leaking and the
tampering.
I don't want to say non-tampering. I want to say being smart about the tampering and not being as egregious. I think that it took away a little bit of that NBA free agency smack you in the face that we know and love.
Yes, there's that, but there's also the lack of it being at midnight.
Yeah.
Like that, remember, like you can't...
Yeah, start in the middle of a day.
You can't have shenanigans like locking somebody in their house with a chair.
Yeah, yeah. DeAndre Jordan.
Uh-huh.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I think we need to go back to that midnight start time.
It makes things weirder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaos.
We need that.
Make all of the executives fly somewhere. Like, imagine if Sam Presti and his crew, instead of, like, landing in Eugene at 1 in the afternoon, were landing there at, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
You know what my favorite part of that was? Is people like, how do you even get to Eugene from Oklahoma City? A private jet. That's my answer.
Well,
a private jet.
It did happen, and you had people in Oklahoma and Oregon tracking private jets, and it wasn't college football season.
Yeah, right? We're not looking at college coaching trackers here. It would these private jets, all the really rich guys have them, and they use them. And they go places that you can't normally fly direct to.
Well, yes.
I don't think Sam Presti was taking the puddle jumper from Oklahoma City to Denver, Denver to Seattle to Eugene.
The flip side of this is Clay Bennett is one of the poorer owners in the NBA, so maybe he's not flying in the G6.
Oh, maybe it's the G5.
Yeah, it's probably used. Remember we had the they hired a charter.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
They didn't want to spend $5,000 on a plane ticket, so they thought it'd be cheaper to fly charter.
Yeah, okay. They just went that way. All right.
That's still that is going to forever live rent-free in my head. The were you not here for that worst day? You were here for that one.
What?
When we played the audio of the woman calling the
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was a deep pull. I was like, I don't know who did this. I remember Vince Young, he bought an entire Southwest Airlines flight for he and like his 20 buddies.
I mean, that's chartering, right?
That probably still would have been cheaper than what he called the charter agency for.
Want to get away?
Yeah.
And he did it. And then went to the Cheesecake Factory and bought a lot of Patron, because apparently that was Vince Young's thing.
Patron?
At the Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely not being watered down at all there.
No.
Not if you're Vince Young.
Not if you're Vince Young. You just get that brand new bottle, pop that bad boy open. All right. Well, that's NBA free agency. That's all you did this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, if you'll notice on the 1080 The Fan social medias that posts went up. at 1 o'clock in the morning.
You were just getting after it, huh? Just all NBA all the time for you. Okay.
But yeah, no, there was
explains your red eyes. Yeah. Thought you might have been like stoned or something.
No,
yeah, no, you just up went, late looking at screens, yep, all night.
Went glasses because my eyes were falling out of my head. So that happened.
That's great. That's great. I had a great weekend. I played 108 holes of golf from Thursday to Sunday.
Good God.
That sounds like a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot of golf. It was a lot of golf. Me and a group of buddies went out to Central Oregon. We had a fantastic time. And we played a ton of golf and had a grand old time. You know, it was just, it was a fantastic weekend over there. I heard it rained here.
Yeah, we did.
It did. Yep, it did. A little thunderstorm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't get that over there. But you know what sucks? And I wonder, how long does this take? When anytime I go over to Central Oregon, I go to the high desert, I get like boogers for days.
Oh, yeah, dries you out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it, like, right when I got home yesterday, I was like, oh, my goodness. And it's just been the booger palooza over there. Is that what people live with over there? Or they, how long does it take?
Well, their system probably gets a bit more used to it.
How do you get used to that? How long does it take? You know, dry air everywhere. It was crazy.
I love it.
Dry
air. Oh God, it's wonderful.
Nah, yeah. It's better than living like in swampy,
yes,
humid air.
Ugh.
Just walking outside and you go.
Yeah, wife and I went for a walk yesterday.
All right,
yesterday it was pretty swampy out, super humid.
Yeah, a little humid.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this I don't like this. It's like a lot of swamp butt.
Don't do
you
it.
Walk outside and you immediately feel like, I need a shower.
Oh, man.
Otherwise known as Alabama.
Alabama.
Like, everybody, Florida gets hit, like, yeah, no kidding. It's got an ocean on both sides of it.
Yeah, Mississippi's bad. People don't give Texas enough credit for how humid it is when you get to, like, southeastern Texas.
Yeah, when you get to the Gulf of Texas, like, you get down in Houston, it'll choke the life out of you. Yeah, Corpus Christi.
You walk outside and it's like 95 degrees with 90% humidity, mm-hmm, and you're just sweating instantly when you walk outside. Yeah. See, these are problems we don't have here.
See, I did Fort Benning, Georgia in August, and I wanted to die. I wanted to die. That was my first time, like, really, 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 really getting hit with, like, humidity with heat like that.
Yeah.
And that was, like, 18, and I was like, ugh! Just,
no, what's wrong with the air here?
Yeah, I'm like, why can I chew the air?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I was like, people actively want to live here?
Yeah, that's it. And they do.
And it's just
you,
like,
just get used to it.
Oh, no,
you just get used to it.
There's no getting used to that.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, no.
Well, one of my buddies that came up and golfed with us, he came from Dallas, and he was just like, it's so pleasant here. You know,
I love Dallas. It's dry.
It's 95 degrees and just hot. It's like a furnace that gets kicked on. He's just like, it's actually pleasant to live up and be outside here.
Yeah, let's see what he says. What I did other get 6 months.
I did get, it was my first time in, I can't remember how long, we were playing in the evening, and I got in one day 30 mosquito bites. 30 mosquito bites. Was not ready for the mosquitoes to come out. Yeah, and I didn't even get the worst of it. I got a buddy who, I'm not kidding, couldn't count them. He had like 70, 80 mosquito bites
like
on him.
That's like...
They were all over
like
the place.
Do real damage to you.
Yeah, he's got... I'm pretty sure he's probably got malaria. But...
good God.
Yeah, it was like we just got eaten alive on the first night. And
were you
then,
guys like rolling around in honey?
No. Playing golf near water. That's it, and it was just brutal. So second day we came prepared, and happy to report, bug spray works. Guys.
It turns out
it really works. Mm. But my buddy who got eaten alive, he gets super itchy. I don't get itchy when I get mosquito bites. I just get little red bumps
on where you get bit from.
But he was a mess. I mean, it looked like he had chicken pox.
Yeah.
It was all over. Mosquitoes, what do they do? If we eradicated mosquitoes, would we be okay?
Like, what service do they perform?
Uh-huh. Well, they're a massive food source for, like, all birds.
Okay, well, birds, pick it up a little bit, huh? Can we get you to pick it up a little bit? It seems like they procreate at a rate that is far too large for the appetites of these birds.
I think you guys are bearing the lead here.
Yeah.
First off, birds aren't real.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that is true. That is true. I read that.
On the interwebs.
I seen that on the internet. Yeah, that is, those birds need to step their game up because that is not cool, dude.
And if mosquitoes' best function is feeding, you know, fake birds, what do we need them for?
All right. So, yeah. Rust.
That's just science.
I think you should run for president on that platform right there.
Listen to my podcast.
Oh, man. Here's a text. I came back from Vegas last Friday. Was at a funeral. Oh, sorry. 109 outside, 117 inside for the funeral. What in the world? See, that's something.
Well, you weren't here.
People are moving to Phoenix and people are moving to Vegas to live indoors.
You weren't here when we talked about the heat dome in England.
Yes, 75.
I loved it too. They showed pictures like on all the headlines of people like dipping their head in fountains. Just, oh, it's so hot. I'm melting.
And I'm like,
it's 75
when
degrees.
When I heard heat dome, I'm like, oh man, they must have like real like 95 plus. Because like in a place that's normally crappy, 95 plus, like you're like, oh yeah, no, that's a real thing. Like when you start getting 95 plus in a place that just does not have air conditioning at all, it is a problem.
That is a big problem, and it's a reasonable complaint.
Yeah.
You're just like
75, dog. You're 5 degrees above room temperature.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Begs the question, what is room temperature in jolly old London town?
God, you're right.
I don't know. Maybe you are actually...
It's probably 12 degrees Celsius.
Now you lost me. Now you completely lost me.
Yeah, I know.
Anytime the bank little thing goes from Fahrenheit to Celsius, I'm lost. You know, I have no idea.
Why are we showing this here? We don't care.
Yeah, my buddy lived in Canada for a while. He used to be like, okay, here's a conversion, and he explained it to me. I didn't know. I didn't know what that meant. He was like, yeah, you minus 37 plus 2, and I was like, sounds like minus 35.
It would be about 54 degrees.
54 degrees?
Yeah, so the formula is 12 degrees Celsius times 9/5.
And then, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to be able to do that.
And then you add 32.
You lost me at 9/5.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do that math.
Well,
that would be 1 4/5. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so yeah.
There we go.
Rust, my face right now?
Yeah. Blank.
Nope. So almost times 2.
Times 2.
So
they do all of that just so they know the temperature of freezing and boiling. And it's like, but you're almost never at freezing or boiling, so why don't you just use Fahrenheit?
Okay, but here's the thing. I think they're onto something.
No!
No.
I kind of do. If zero is freezing, that does make sense.
Okay, but you're never at zero or boiling.
In Canada, they are.
Yeah, no, okay, but listen, 100 degrees Fahrenheit sounds hot, right? That just sounds like it should be hot.
Yeah.
37.7 degrees does not sound hot.
Doesn't sound hot.
No.
Doesn't.
In Celsius. No.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't sound hot.
No.
So, yeah, switch rest of the world.
This one we have right.
Okay. All right. It's double add 30. How about we do that? Can we just do that? We double it, add 30.
Close enough.
So, yeah, it is close enough. Because you said 54 degrees would be 12 degrees Celsius. Times 2 is 24 plus 30. You right at 54.
Yeah. It was 53.6, but I rounded up. Because I'm an ugly American.
What would I have ever done?
The thing is, they don't ever tell you on the news or the weather when, you know, they go to the weather report. They don't go 53.6 or 12.6 or whatever. They just say 12. That's what I'm saying. Fahrenheit is a more accurate representation of what the actual temperature is.
All right.
I don't care about freezing or boiling, because if you don't understand when something freezes or when something boils, you're an idiot.
All right. You may have won me over on that.
America. Do you wait for the water to boil, you know, or do you wait for it to get to a temperature?
Yeah. I mean, this is far too close to 4th of July for me not to just say, America, yes,
let me say,
let's go.
But If you're waiting for the water to boil, are you waiting for it to get to a temperature, or are you waiting for it to bubble?
Bubble.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
So
right
do you
there.
Need to know the temperature of it? No.
No, not at all. All right, you want sports now?
Nah, fine.
All right.
I want to talk about boiling water some more.
Okay. Let's, Rust is going to go through the break on YouTube. He's just going to be talking to you about water boiling. You add a little salt to it. You add some olive oil when you put noodles in to make sure it doesn't foam over the edge. Is that what you do? These are the questions you'll find out during the break when Rust definitely will not be.
And the boiling point of water in Fahrenheit, 212 degrees, that's where you finally get to 100 degrees Celsius.
All right. Well, let's get to the sporting portion of the show. Danny did not sleep last night, and he's been on a screen for the last 48 hours because free agency is well underway in the NBA.
Indeed.
Not the frantic start we've come accustomed to, but the Blazers free agent activity is something that we've come accustomed to. Not a lot of movement here, but some massive moves made, and it is highlighted by PG-13 heading to Philly next on The Fan. All right, we limped into the NBA free agency period because of the new rules that the NBA has put into place about tampering, and if we're just being quite honest here, all it had to do with is just don't make the tampering so apparent, everybody. But it was a slow start to the NBA free agency period, but that didn't stop the newsmakers and movers and shakers in the world of NBA with the veiled, well, this is what I believe will happen, and here we are as every hour passes. All of those, I believe this is what it will happen, is all coming to fruition, including 12:30 in the morning, Paul George of the Los Angeles Clippers signing with the Philadelphia 76ers. This, of course, after yesterday, the Clippers, with a move that is pretty rare. A four-pager of, hey, Paul George is not going to re-sign with us.
So
this is our explanation as to why, because that Oklahoma City trade for Paul George is looking worse and worse with every passing day.
Well, there's also the line of, well, you know, the second apron, it's really a problem. And, you know, screw it. I'm going to get into it. That part of this right now. The Clippers offered a three-year deal, which would match the timeline of Kawhi Leonard, and they offered a two-year $75 million deal to James Harden, which what the hell was that about? But let's do the math here real quick. They would have been a second apron team this year. They would have been a second apron team next year. And the likelihood is they probably would have been a second apron, or they would have probably had a duck out of and then been a second apron team in year four, which is what Paul George wanted. So if you're already at that point and you don't have any draft assets left, what's the difference between giving Paul George a three-year deal or a four-year deal? And the reality is there isn't one. I think what ended up happening was Kawhi Leonard signed his deal in January in the midst of the Clippers on an absolute heater of a roll. And Paul George said, nah, I want 4 years. And things are going so well right then that Paul George is like, I'll get my fourth year. Everything will be fine. Well, then everything falls apart and guys start picking up injuries and the Clippers play like crap down the stretch. And I think the Clippers looked at things and went, this is not going to work. These guys are not going to stay healthy. We cannot give Paul that fourth year. And it gave them an excuse to get out of the Paul George business. And before everybody's like, well, they could have gotten something for the Warriors. Well, that something wasn't something good. So I had heard Friday, I think I talked about on the show, the Warriors are trying to make a real push for Paul George, which is why Chris Paul opted in to push his date out or to push his extension out on Saturday or his guarantee date out on Saturday. But the sticking point was the Warriors, and this is hilarious, are basically treating Jonathan Kuminga like a potential all-star and not making him available in anything. And I heard Zach Lowe say this on his podcast Thursday. Thursday I was driving home listening to that. Might have been Thursday or Friday. I almost crashed when he said the same thing. Like, the Warriors see him, and they shouldn't put him in that. And I'm like, okay, we've entered the prestige zone around Jonathan Kuminga a little too much.
And when you look at it in these terms as well, the three-year versus a four-year deal, you're also looking at the alignment of all of the picks that the Clippers are conveying to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't make sense because the last pick that goes out is that 2028 year, which would be heading into his final year on his extension, which is a four-year, $212 million deal, is that 28-29 season. So by when that contract expires for Paul George, you're getting all your picks back
anyway. So if you're going to have the, you know, the hard reset conversation, then have it then. But now, if you kind of go back over the past, not even 12 months, 10 months, the James Harden deal. The Philadelphia 76ers traded James Harden for Paul George and picks because they got picks in that deal. I'm sorry. They traded James Harden and PJ Tucker for Paul George and the Clippers picks. It is unhinged what they just did to the 76ers, to the Clippers.
Well, the Philly doing that. But let's look at that OKC trade, which also they got Paul George from OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All the Clippers got was Paul George. That's it. What Oklahoma City got was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, the Clippers' first-round picks unprotected in 2022, 2024, 2028, Miami's first-round picks in 2023, 2028, pick swaps with the Clippers in 2023, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
That may go down as one of the worst trades in sports history.
And
this is up there with like the Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings, because of the fact that they got one Western Conference Finals appearance out of it, zero NBA Finals, zero NBA championships out of it. And then Paul George leaves to go to Philly, the team that you gave up, what you just outlined, more picks in the future for James Harden. Like, all of this goes down as like you can lump all this together because you said essentially what it was. Philly traded James Harden for picks and Paul George.
Now, quite the win. And I still think if you're the Clippers in 2019 going into 2020, you do this deal every single time because you have Kawhi Leonard who just won a title.
By the way, one of those picks has already turned into Jalen Williams for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Not too shabby.
That is it, like think of that. The core that they have built in Oklahoma City is based off of one, they took the shortcut through hell. They were okay with being bad. They got Chet Holmgren, and then all of a sudden, here they are just stacking their roster. And Oklahoma City is looking fantastic moving out of this, but the Clippers are now stuck in a bind where you don't have any picks. If James Harden or Kawhi Leonard get hurt again this year, which who's ruling that out at this point? Because I think like what we've seen is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard kind of taking turns being injured, James Harden coming in and out of the lineup. If either one of those guys get hurt this year, it looks even worse moving forward for the Clippers because they don't hold anything because those picks were all unprotected and then they have pick swaps to go along with it. Think about this. The Clippers could hand, if Kawhi goes down with an injury or Harden goes down with an injury, the Clippers could hand Oklahoma City a lottery pick in the 2025 draft. Would that surprise you one bit? The 2025 coveted draft, a lot because they have the pick swap with OKC.
Would it surprise me? No. I don't think it's very likely considering how things are lining up, particularly in both conferences, because you're Detroit, Portland, Brooklyn are guaranteed tanking. Like, they're guaranteed tanking.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably looking at three other teams in that same vein. Probably throw three more on there that will get to the 500 mark and or the halfway mark of the season and go, because there's five guys in this draft. But if you're talking about, like, even if it's not a lottery pick, right on the fringe, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about Denver here a little bit later and what didn't happen for them. But top of the West right now, OKC,
yep.
Dallas. Denver took a real step back, like a legitimate step back. And I don't know how they recoup that.
And Minnesota's more or less standing pat.
Yep.
But so Mike Conley is sold.
But they also got Rob Dillingham in the draft to be an offensive spark for them. So those are your top three, I think, in the West right now, right? Phoenix has still got guys that are good. Denver's still got Jokic and Jamal Murray. Like, they're not going to be bad. They're just not going to be that same threat. Houston is still sitting there lurking.
Yeah.
And like, but you see how quickly you get to 7-8 and you're like, are the Clippers in that level? And they're probably, yeah, they probably are. They're probably right there.
Is Sacramento going to rebound this year?
Look,
and
I don't know if we want to save that for later, but there's a lot going on in Sacramento. They're trying to make another big move.
Here's another one, too, is that all of a sudden with Chris Paul going to San Antonio, it doesn't appear like they are going to be, you know, tanking year two in Victor Wembanyama.
They are. Despite what they're showing, they're going to. They're going to tank one more year.
they're going to put it in the side of the mountain.
The opportunity for them to get. And everybody's like, well, what if they get Cooper? I'm like, I'm less worried about them getting Cooper Flag and more worried about them
Ace
getting
Bailey.
No. Either Boogie Fland, Dylan Harper, or VJ Edgecombe. Those are the point guards in this draft. And they're all very, very high. And I don't know if you were here when I mentioned this the other day. I had a scout who I trust a ton say VJ Edgecombe reminds them of Anthony Edwards in a point guard. And I went, oh, God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Golly.
Imagine you put that kind of physicality and burst, but with like playmaking instincts alongside Victor Wembanyama. That's hell on earth.
Okay. Here's a question now coming out of the Paul George conversation is we can take a look at where Philly's at and where how that ripple effect is kind of moving forward because other free agency moves that have happened in the Eastern Conference are going to be impacting that race because we have an extension signed in Boston. We've got some roster in flux with the New York Knicks right now. And Philly may hold exactly what the Clippers had, which is potentially the best trio in the NBA, but can they stay healthy? We'll talk about it next after Rust with SportsCenter. How much risk do you think there is in this Paul George deal for the 76ers, though, where you think of it, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Paul George. That's a pretty damn good trio in the NBA.
You're forgetting Pretty
right
Kelly.
Now.
Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, he signed an extension in Philly. All right.
I couldn't keep Batum, though.
Stay off your bike. Yeah, Batum goes back to the Clippers.
Yep.
But
he was going to retire, too. Now he just took a two-year deal.
That trio of Embiid, George, Maxey.
Really good.
One of the best in the NBA.
Health permitting, for sure.
But that is the exact same thing that the Clippers just went through, which is guys that had a history of injuries, they come together, and guess what doomed them? Their injuries.
I mean, the thing with the Sixers are, it's not necessarily Paul George's. It's like, well, Paul George has injuries. It doesn't matter. Paul George has injuries or not, it doesn't matter. It's Joel Embiid.
Absolutely.
He's like, you do whatever you can to get whatever you can around Joel Embiid because if your title hopes hinge on Joel Embiid.
100%.
So if
you
like,
do it.
So if Paul George is like, well, he's got a history of being dinged up, doesn't matter if you don't get there without Joel Embiid, anyways. So you go get the best players possible to put around him. Red flags be damned because your window, you can't wait with Joel. He's not going to play into his 40s.
Nope.
He's got probably 2 years left.
Yeah.
Before he really, like, he's already breaking down. It's just, the reality of the situation is he's 7'1", he's 350 pounds, and you just can't continue to play on that frame. Particularly with all of his injuries. Back, foot, I mean, it's just, something's going to happen. So you just say, screw it, and you go with it. Now, the risk is only financial because they gave up nothing to get him other than cap space. And what other player out there is better than Paul George that was available?
Nobody.
Okay.
Not one.
So the 76ers maxed out their capability. If you're talking about like when you try to min-max something, getting the most possible out of something, they did that.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Boston Celtics, they signed Derek White to an extension today.
Where are they finding this money?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question, and I wanted to ask you. 4 years, $125.9 million, okay? Pre-extension, which will kick in after this next season, okay? Mm-hmm. So this 24-25 season, the Boston Celtics, this is according to SpotTrack, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, and Derek White. Five guys, right? They accounted for 116.2% of the salary cap available. Okay. For 2025-26, those same five players will account for 117%. Now, that is just telling me we are looking at a team that is They know window open, obviously, just won a title. But are they just signaling right now that what their plan is just to pay an absorbent amount of money in the tax and then lose picks? Because that's what happens in the, under the new CBA, correct? You just, if you're a repeat offender in the second apron.
2 out of 4 years. It'll push your pick to the very end, and then after that, you will lose the pick.
See, now here is my question about picks that have been traded in the new CBA, right? What happens to those? Because, like, the Clippers own, or the Thunder own the Clippers picks, right? Will it just stay slotted in,
I think,
into where
I believe
it would be?
That's the case. I'll have to dig into
but
that.
But if they own it, because that could just throw a wrench into teams just being like, okay,
screw it,
trade a first.
Yeah, no. What you do is you purposely put yourself in that bracket to make sure they get no value out of the pick.
Exactly.
So, there's got to be a prohibition on that. And taking a look at the Celtics tax, as much as they are right now, they're at 191 million going, basically 192 million this year. They're at 193 next year already. And that's with, what, four less guys on the roster? Yeah.
And that's just,
good Lord.
It's crazy. But Boston is going in. This is what I think every Blazer fan in the world would want from the hometown team, is to have a window where you can say, yep, we're going to push all in and we're going to be in that competitive range, right? And have that championship window and maximize it as long as you possibly can. Philly got better with the addition of Paul George. Boston is standing pat with their core that just won a championship.
Which you should.
The New York Knicks, they have obviously taken a step up with the OG Anunoby extension, right?
Mikal Bridges trade. They did lose Isaiah Hartenstein, and that is a massive hit.
And that is a big one, because that is a center who doesn't require a lot of shots behind him, but he is a rim protector.
Great playmaker, heady player.
A very good passer as well. And he goes to Oklahoma City for 3 years, $87 million, where the Thunder went full court press, flew out to Eugene. For those that don't know, he was born in Eugene.
Yep.
His dad played for Oregon and then went over and played professionally over in Germany. And so he grew up in Germany and played there now. But,
which is how he's a light-skinned black dude named Hartenstein.
Okay, yeah.
for those that don't know, I'm not joking.
Yeah. Well, Josh Hart, he was floored by it. He made several social media posts.
Yes.
Just totally unaware.
When he found out that Isaiah was half black.
Yeah. He was like, I don't believe it.
No,
do not believe it.
No, he just got the other half.
So they go, Thunder go in, and that chips away a little bit at the New York Knicks, though. They will have Julius Randle back, though.
Well, they have front court issues that they need to figure out, in that Mitch Robinson is a big force, but he's also been injury prone. Same with Julius Randle. And I talking to folks around the league this past week, who's the Julius Randle team? And it's like, it's a good question. Who is the Julius? Like, nobody really makes sense, like, right out of the gate as the Julius Randle team. And so you kind of figure, you're kind of, yeah, see? And so, because it feels like he's the odd man out. I've talked to a few players in the league who are like, yeah, you know, they brought in Mikal and they re-signed OG and they, you know, they got the Nova Knicks all together. And they're like, okay, what does that look like when Julius Randle wants the ball?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a thing that they haven't seen. And so the natural inclination with all of this stuff is to always, like, project linearly. Like, oh, it'll just keep going up. But it's like, well, when you add in another ingredient, sometimes it doesn't work. And so, like, that's a question I think people have, and I think it's fair. And I don't think Julius is, like, some, you know, complete a-hole that's going to go out there and derail things. But, I mean, you know, everybody's got to do what they got to do for themselves at certain points. Then that means sometimes you need to get some shots up or be the center of attention or... I mean, it's why Mikal kind of wanted to spread his wings, so to speak, in Brooklyn. Those opportunities to get paid are there. And that's the thing is, Mikal's, they paid a lot to get him in draft capital, But when he's up for his next contract, he's going to get paid mightily.
He's going to get a lot of money.
And that's an apron issue that the Knicks are going to have to juggle. They're just lucky that they have guys on really good deals already, particularly in their best player in Jalen Brunson.
Look, in all of this as well, as we're talking about the East and how competitive it's going to be, by the way, the Milwaukee Bucks are still there and hopefully healthier, but they've got their questions that they need to start figuring out, front court especially, as you highlighted last week with Brooke Lopez getting long in the tooth. But as it pertains to the Isaiah Hartenstein, too, is you look at it, Oklahoma City's starting lineup now is SGA, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren playing the four, right? And Hartenstein playing the five, with your bench consisting of, remember, Alex Caruso and the fleecing that they got there, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe.
Who they both just re-signed.
And the other Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Like, that is a young, deep roster in Oklahoma City.
Look, they should be forced to move one of those Jalen Williams.
It's just for the sake of being confusing.
Yeah,
one with a Y and one without a Y.
Yeah, I still can't tell you which one is which.
Okay.
Well, the one that barks is the J-A-L-E-N. He's Cody's brother.
Take this up with Jalen Rose's mom.
Yeah.
Because he claims to be the first Jalen ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually some proof to it, so.
Is there really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of funny.
Don't blame them. Blame Jalen Rose's mom, okay?
No, I blame the Thunder front office for taking two Jalen Williams. They didn't have to do that.
Maybe they just got confused and were like, we'll take them both.
Like they got the first one and went, oh, crap, we got the wrong one.
But those are smart, savvy moves that you're seeing from contending teams in both the East and West that are looking to take that next jump. I don't know how Boston is going to navigate this, especially because it was announced today that they're selling the team.
Yeah, I mean, Wick Gersbeck made a hell of a move going, yeah, I want a title, and I'm going to reap all the money from all the merchandise sales and everything else that comes along with this, but also I'm going to divest in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, yes, he's selling the team, but not until he gets all the money from this title run, and then he'll pay some of the taxes. But he won't be on the hook for all of them.
No,
and he's going to be out by 2028.
They bought if you didn't know this, they bought the team in 2002 for $360 million.
Nothing.
One of the most prominent brands in all of sports, The Boston Celtics. They will sell it 22 years later for $5 billion.
Probably.
Is where they're starting at.
I'd say it's probably going to end up at six. I think that's the going suspicion.
Coming off of a title, and he's going to saddle the next owner with, all right, well, I don't have to deal with this luxury tax situation, this roster situation. You will.
And they
over
have
a trillion, $200 billion.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
But and not only that, they don't have any like young assets going forward, like when you project 4 years out.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Good luck.
Hey, let's start diving into the latest with the hometown team, though. The Portland Trailblazers are very quiet in the free agent market, but it does not appear that they've been quiet behind the scenes with the guys that are actively on their roster. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers, pretty uneventful in the free agent market, and that was expected. We all knew that was going to be the play. But that doesn't mean that the Portland Trailblazers are inactive behind the scenes. It sounds like there's a lot brewing with the Portland Trailblazers in trading some of the assets that they currently hold. The one that we keep hearing pop up again and again is Jeremy Grant. Teams have looked in. We heard Dallas last week was kicking the tires and calling on Jeremy Grant to Portland. And now the Lakers late last week emerged as a team that was also trying to make a move for Jeremy Grant. And that one seems to keep popping up.
Yeah, I heard yesterday morning the Lakers and Blazers were engaging in talks about Jeremy Grant. The Blazers appear to be holding steadfast to wanting both the first round picks that the Lakers can offer, which is 2029, 2031. Which version of salary ballast is, I'm getting mixed messages on whether or not it's D'Angelo Russell or a combination, or I should say D'Angelo Russell and, or if it's a combination of Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. So if it, My understanding from the folks that I've talked to is that the Rui Gabe Vincent package makes more sense for the Trailblazers because Rui Hachimura could also be your four going forward. And he's again, he's not young. He's younger. He's 26. It would also push the burden of responsibility on both ends of the floor more towards the younger guys because you wouldn't have the Jeremy Grant to lean on, which would be a pivot from the franchise. So it's not a small thing that if they look to do that, it's also they would then be looking to get multiple picks out of Jeremy Grant. Now, I've been told that the Blazers aren't motivated to just move Jeremy just to move him.
Yeah.
So I, as of right now, I would be surprised if they moved him without getting both first round picks. But the Lakers are swinging and swinging and swinging, and they have connected on absolutely nothing.
No,
so,
and really, it's down to because there is a report that's out there that LeBron James is willing to take a lesser money in order to bring in another big name.
The only name left is DeMar DeRozan.
And that is, well, and Jeremy Grant.
Well, yeah. But Jeremy's just via trade.
Yeah, he is via trade, but he has got three years and a player option left, and it's escalating 29, 32, 34, 34, or 36, rather, in the player option year. This is now coming to a point where, you know, the Lakers, you've got to connect on something, and it's got to be DeMar DeRozan because they missed on whether Paul George was believable or not. Klay Thompson was another name that they were linked to. Chris Paul was another guy that was linked to. Banana boat sails again, and Chris Paul goes to Jonas San Antonio. Jonas Valanciunas.
James Harden.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Yeah, LeBron basically let out a list of players he'd take the pay cut for, and DeMar's really the only guy left in that vein. So, and if they don't do that, he's going to go, screw you, give me my $50
million. Wow. And then just be gone.
So, enjoy the Bronny James experience, guys.
Oh, boy. But how would these salaries match up? Because you mentioned Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. That would be around $28 million that would be coming
Blazers
in this
would
year.
Save money.
And it's 29 for Jeremy Grant. If you're looking at D'Angelo Russell, he's at $18.6 million, and you'd have to add another name in there, right?
You could do Gabe Vincent. You could do Jared Vanderbilt, do a couple different versions of it. But, yeah, the money's known. It's not that hard. It's the draft capital. And the Blazers are a team. We've heard Joe Cronin, and I've talked to him and his front office and people up and down the organization. They don't just want draft capital, which is why they went and traded for Denny Avdia. They want functional, tangible players. Draft capital is good, so you could like make moves later. But like, I don't think they would want just like cast-offs and picks. Like, they would want Rui because Rui's a younger player who kind of fits their timeline and positionally makes sense for them. Like, you could say the same thing about Jared Van.
How much risk do you think there is in this Paul George deal for the 76ers, though? Where you think of it, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Paul George. That's a pretty damn good trio.
You're forgetting
in the NBA
pretty
right
Kelly. Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, he signed an extension in Philly. All right.
I couldn't keep Batum, though.
Stay off your bike. Yeah, Batum goes back to the Clippers. Yep. But
he was going to retire, too. Now he just took a 2-year deal.
That trio of Embiid, George, Maxey.
Really good.
I mean, one of the best in the NBA.
Health permitting, for sure.
But that is the exact same thing that the Clippers just went through, which is guys that had a history of injuries. They come together, and guess what doomed them? Their injuries.
I mean, the thing with the Sixers are, it's not necessarily Paul George's. It's like, well, Paul George has injuries. It doesn't matter. Paul George has injuries or not, it doesn't matter. It's Joel Embiid.
Absolutely. He's like,
you do whatever you can to get whatever you can around Joel Embiid, because if your title hopes hinge on Joel Embiid.
100%.
So if
you
like,
do it.
So if Paul George is like, well, he's got a history of being dinged up, doesn't matter if you don't get there without Joel Embiid anyways. So you go get the best players possible to put around him. Red flags be damned, because your window, you can't wait with Joel. He's not going to play into his 40s.
Nope.
He's got probably 2 years left.
Yeah.
Before he really, like, he's already breaking down. It's just the reality of the situation is he's 7'1", he's 350 pounds, and you just can't continue to play on that frame. Particularly with all of his injuries, back, foot. I mean, it's just something's going to happen. So you just say screw it and you go with it. Now, the risk is only financial because they gave up nothing to get him other than cap space. And what other player out there is better than Paul George that was available?
Nobody.
Okay.
Not one.
So the 76ers maxed out their capability. If you're talking about like when you try to min-max something, getting the most possible out of something, they did that.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the Boston Celtics, they signed Derek White to an extension today.
Where are they finding this money?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question, and I wanted to ask you. 4 years, $125.9 million, okay? Pre-extension, which will kick in after this next season, okay? Mm-hmm. So this 24-25 season, the Boston Celtics, this is according to SpotTrack, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, and Derek White. Five guys, right? They accounted for 116.2% of the salary cap available. Okay. For 2025-26, those same five players will account for 117%. Now, that is just telling me we are looking at a team that is, they know window open, obviously, just won a title, but are they just signaling right now that what their plan is just to pay an absorbent amount of money in the tax and then lose picks? Because that's what happens under the new CBA, correct? You just, if you're a repeat offender in the second apron.
2 out of 4 years. It'll push your pick to the very end, and then after that, you will lose the pick.
See, now here is my question about picks that have been traded in the new CBA, right? What happens to those? Because like the Clippers own, or the Thunder own the Clippers picks, right? Will it just stay slotted?
I believe that's the case. I'll have to dig into that.
But if they own it, because yeah, that could just throw a wrench into teams just being like, okay, screw it, trade a first.
Yeah, no. What you do is you purposely put yourself in that bracket to make sure they get no value out of the pick.
Exactly.
So there's got to be a prohibition on that. And taking a look at the Celtics tax, as much as they are right now, they're at 191 million going, basically 192 million this year. They're at 193 next year already. And that's with what, four less guys on the roster? Yeah.
And that's just,
good Lord.
It's crazy. But Boston is going in. This is what I think every Blazer fan in the world would want from the hometown team, is to have a window where you can say, yep, we're going to push all in and we're going to be in that competitive range, right? And have that championship window and maximize it as long as you possibly can. Philly got better with the addition of Paul George. Boston is standing pat with their core that just won a championship.
Which you should.
The New York Knicks, they have obviously taken a step up with the OG Anunoby extension, right?
Mikal Bridges trade. They did lose Isaiah Hartenstein, and that is a massive hit.
And that is a big one, because that is a center who doesn't require a lot of shots behind him, but he is a rim protector.
Great playmaker, heady player.
A very good passer as well. And he goes to Oklahoma City for 3 years, $87 million, where the Thunder went full court press, flew out to Eugene. For those that don't know, he was born in Eugene.
Yep.
His dad played for Oregon and then went over and played professionally over in Germany. And so he grew up in Germany and played there now. But
this is how he's a light-skinned black dude named Hartenstein.
Okay, yeah.
for those that don't know, I'm not joking.
Yeah. Well, Josh Hart, he was floored by it. He made several social media posts.
Yes.
Just totally unaware.
When he found out that Isaiah was half black.
Yeah. He was like, I don't believe it.
No, he just got the other half.
So they go, Thunder go in, and that chips away a little bit at the New York Knicks, though.
Mm-hmm.
They will have Julius Randle back, though.
Well, they have front court issues that they need to figure out, in that Mitch Robinson is a big force, but he's also been injury prone. Same with Julius Randle. And I talking to folks around the league this past week, who's the Julius Randle team? And it's like, it's a good question. Who is the Julius? Like, nobody really makes sense, like, right out of the gate as the Julius Randle team. And so you kind of figure, you kind of, see? And so, because it feels like he's the odd man out. I've talked to a few people who, a few players in the league who are like, yeah, you know, they brought in Mikhail and they re-signed OG and they, you know, they got the Nova Knicks all together. And they're like, okay, what does that look like when Julius Randle wants the ball?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a thing that they haven't seen. And so the natural inclination with all of this stuff is to always like project linearly, like, oh, it'll just keep going up. But it's like, well, when you add in another ingredient, sometimes it doesn't work. And so, like, that's a question I think people have, and I think it's fair. And I don't think Julius is, like, some, you know, complete a-hole that's going to go out there and derail things. But, I mean, you know, everybody's got to do what they got to do for themselves at certain points. Then that means sometimes you need to get some shots up or be the center of attention. Or I mean, it's why Mikhail kind of wanted to spread his wings, so to speak, in Brooklyn. Those opportunities to get paid are there. And that's the thing is, Mikhail's they paid a lot to get him in draft capital, but when he's up for his next contract, he's going to get paid mightily.
He's going to get a lot of money.
And that's an apron issue that the Knicks are going to have to juggle. They're just lucky that they have guys on really good deals already, particularly in their best player in Jalen Brunson.
Look, in all of this as well, as we're talking about the East and how competitive it's going to be, by the way, the Milwaukee Bucks are still there and hopefully healthier, but they've got their questions that they need to start figuring out, front court especially, as you highlighted last week with Brook Lopez getting long in the tooth. But as it pertains to the Isaiah Hartenstein, too, is you look at it, Oklahoma City's starting lineup now is SGA, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren playing the four, right? And Hartenstein playing the five, with your bench consisting of, remember, Alex Caruso and the fleecing that they got there, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe.
Who they both just re-signed.
And the other Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Like, that is a young, deep roster in Oklahoma City.
Look, they should be forced to move one of those Jalen Williams.
It's just for the sake of being confusing.
Yeah,
one with a Y and one without a Y.
Yeah, I still can't tell you which one is which.
Okay.
Well, the one that barks is the J-A-L-E-N. He's Cody's brother.
Take this up with Jalen Rose's mom.
Yeah.
Because he claims to be the first Jalen ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually some proof to it, so.
Is there really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of funny.
Don't blame them. Blame Jalen Rose's mom, okay?
No, I blame the Thunder front office for taking two Jalen Williams. They didn't have to do that.
Maybe they just got confused and were like, we'll take them both.
Like they got the first one and went, oh, crap, we got the wrong one.
those are smart, savvy moves that you're seeing from contending teams in both the East and West that are looking to take that next jump. I don't know how Boston is going to navigate this, especially because it was announced today that they're selling the team.
Yeah, I mean, Wick Gersbeck made a hell of a move going, yeah, I want a title, and I'm going to reap all the money from all the merchandise sales and everything else that comes along with this, but also I'm going to divest in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, yes, he's selling the team, but not until he gets all the money from this title run, and then he'll pay some of the taxes, but he won't be on the hook for all of them.
No,
and he's going to be out by 2028.
They bought if you didn't know this, they bought the team in 2002 for $360 million.
Nothing.
One of the most prominent brands in all of sports, yeah. The Boston Celtics. They will sell it 22 years later for $5 billion.
Probably
is where they're starting at.
I'd say it's probably going to end up at six. I think that's the going suspicion.
Coming off of a title, and he's going to saddle the next owner with, all right, well, I don't have to deal with this luxury tax situation, this roster situation. You will.
And they have
$200 billion.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
But and not only that, they don't have any like young assets going forward, like when you project 4 years out.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Good luck.
Hey, let's start diving into the latest with the hometown team, though. The Portland Trailblazers are very quiet in the free agent market, but it does not appear that they've been quiet behind the scenes with the guys that are actively on their roster. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers, pretty uneventful in the free agent market, and that was expected. We all knew that was going to be the play. But that doesn't mean that the Portland Trailblazers are inactive behind the scenes. It sounds like there's a lot brewing with the Portland Trail Blazers in trading some of the assets that they currently hold. The one that we keep hearing pop up again and again is Jeremy Grant. Teams have looked in. We heard Dallas last week was kicking the tires and in calling on Portland, on Jeremy Grant to Portland. And now the Lakers late last week emerged as a team that was also trying to make a move for Jeremy Grant. And that one seems to keep on popping up.
Yeah, I heard yesterday morning the Lakers and Blazers were engaging in talks about Jeremy Grant. The Blazers appear to be holding steadfast to wanting both the first round picks that the Lakers can offer, which is 2029, 2031. Which version of salary ballast is, I'm getting mixed messages on whether or not it's D'Angelo Russell or a combination, or I should say D'Angelo Russell and, or if it's a combination of Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. So my understanding from the folks that I've talked to is that the Rui Gabe Vincent package makes more sense for the Trailblazers because Rui Hachimura could also be your four going forward. And he's not young. He's younger. He's 26. It would also push the burden of responsibility on both ends of the floor more towards the younger guys because you wouldn't have the Jeremy Grant to lean on, which would be a pivot from the franchise. So it's not a small thing that if they look to do that, it's also they would then be looking to get multiple picks out of Jeremy Grant. Now, I've been told that the Blazers aren't motivated to just move Jeremy just to move him.
Yeah.
So I, as of right now, I would be surprised if they moved him without getting both first round picks. But the Lakers are swinging and swinging and swinging, and they have connected on absolutely nothing.
No,
so,
and really it's down to because there is a report that's out there that LeBron James is willing to take a lesser money in order to bring in another big name.
The only name left is DeMar DeRozan.
And that is, well, and Jeremy Grant.
Well, yeah. But Jeremy's just via trade.
Yeah, he is via trade, but he has got three years and a player option left, and it's escalating 29, 32, 34, 34, or 36, rather, in the player option year. This is now coming to a point where, you know, the Lakers, you've got to connect on something, and it's got to be DeMar DeRozan because they missed on whether Paul George was believable or not. Klay Thompson was another name that they were linked to. Chris Paul was another guy that was linked to. Banana Boat sails again, and Chris Paul goes to Jonas San Antonio. Jonas Valanciunas.
James Harden.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Yeah, LeBron basically let out a list of players he'd take the pay cut for, and DeMar's really the only guy left in that vein. So, and if they don't do that, he's going to go, screw you, give me my $50
million. Wow. And then just be gone.
So, enjoy the Bronny James experience, guys.
Oh, boy. But how would these salaries match up? Because you mentioned Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. That would be around $28 million that would be coming
Blazers
in this
would actually
year.
Save money.
And it's 29 for Jeremy Grant. If you're looking at D'Angelo Russell, he's at $18.6 million, and you'd have to add another name in there, right?
You could do Gabe Vincent again. You could do Jared Vanderbilt, do a couple different versions of it. But, yeah, the money's known. It's not that hard. It's the draft capital. And the Blazers are a team. We've heard Joe Cronin, and I've talked to him and his front office and people up and down the organization. They don't just want draft capital, which is why they went and traded for Denny Avdia. They want functional, tangible players. Draft capital is good, so you could like make moves later. But like, I don't think they would want just like cast-offs and picks. Like, they would want Rui because Rui's a younger player who kind of fits their timeline and positionally makes sense for them. Like, you could say the same thing about Jared Vanderbilt, that he would make sense for them, but the Lakers probably want to keep one of those guys. So, okay, that's fine. D'Angelo Russell is just not somebody I think meets any kind of criteria for the Trailblazers at all, unless you're trying to find a third team for him as a different landing spot and extracting something from them.
In both those guys, so if you're looking at Jared Vanderbilt, he's got 3 years in a player option remaining on his deal, and that's right around that 10 working up to $13 million, and Rui Hachimura has got 2 years left on his deal at $17 and $18 million apiece. And so when you're talking about those timelines, age-wise, they fit. But also, contract length, it's not like it's an expiring deal. After this year, you can work through some stuff this year and then next year, you know, that which is when Portland would realistically be saying, all right, time to pick it up and start moving. It's time to start winning basketball games again. Both of those timelines match up far better than where Portland is at right now with Jeremy Grant.
And so, again, this is the first time I've heard Jeremy Grant being on the table in any kind of reasonable matter of the Blazers entertaining real offers. They are not motivated to move him in the sense of moving him just for the sake of moving him. They want value out of him. And if they don't get it, they're not going to move him.
All right. Let's start hour number two with where the movement or lack of movement by some teams that are contenders may push forward some more Blazers moves as well, because we're talking about that with the Lakers and Jeremy Grant. Are there other names and players that may be available that are going to come up based on some of the moves that have happened so far in the free agent market? This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Hometown team, the Portland Trail Blazers, pretty uneventful in the free agent market, and that was expected. We all knew that that was going to be the play. But that doesn't mean that the Portland Trail Blazers are inactive behind the scenes. It sounds like there's a lot brewing with the Portland Trail Blazers in trading some of the assets that they currently hold. The one that we keep hearing pop up again and again is Jeremy Grant. Teams have looked in. We heard Dallas last week was kicking the tires and calling on Jeremy Grant to Portland. And now the Lakers late last week emerged as a team that was also trying to make a move for Jeremy Grant. And that one seems to keep popping up.
Yeah, I heard yesterday morning the Lakers and Blazers were engaging in talks about Jeremy Grant. The Blazers appear to be holding steadfast to wanting both the first round picks that the Lakers can offer, which is 2029, 2031. Which version of salary ballast is... I'm getting mixed messages on whether or not it's D'Angelo Russell or a combination, or I should say D'Angelo Russell and, or if it's a combination of Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. So my understanding from the folks that I've talked to is that the Rui Gabe Vincent package makes more sense for the Trailblazers, because Rui Hachimura could also be your four going forward. And he's not young. He's younger. He's 26. It would also push the burden of responsibility on both ends of the floor more towards the younger guys, because you wouldn't have the Jeremy Grant to lean on, which would be a pivot from the franchise. So it's not a small thing that if they look to do that, it's also they would then be looking to get multiple picks out of Jeremy Grant. Now, I've been told that the Blazers aren't motivated to just move Jeremy just to move him.
Yeah.
So I, as of right now, I would be surprised if they moved him without getting both first round picks. But the Lakers are swinging and swinging and swinging, and they have connected on absolutely nothing.
No,
so,
and really, it's down to, because there is the report that's out there that LeBron James is willing to take a lesser money in order to bring in another big name.
The only name left is DeMar DeRozan.
And that is, well, and Jeremy Grant.
Well, yeah. Jeremy's just via trade.
Yeah, he's via trade, but he has got three years and a player option left, and it's escalating 29, 32, 34, 34, or 36, rather, in the player option year. This is now coming to a point where, you know, the Lakers, you've got to connect on something, and it's got to be DeMar DeRozan, because they missed on whether Paul George was believable or not. Klay Thompson was another name that they were linked to. Chris Paul was another guy that was linked to. Banana Boat sails again, and Chris Paul goes to San Antonio. Jonas Valanciunas.
James Harden.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Yeah, LeBron basically let out a list of players he'd take the pay cut for, and DeMar's really the only guy left in that vein. So, and if they don't do that, he's going to go, screw you, give me my $50
million. Wow. And then just be gone.
So, enjoy
after a year.
Enjoy the Bronny James experience, guys.
Oh, boy. But how would these salaries match up? Because you mentioned Rui Hachimura and Gabe Vincent. That would be around $28 million that would be coming
Blazers
in this year.
Save money.
And it's 29 for Jeremy Grant. If you're looking at D'Angelo Russell, he's at $18.6 million, and you'd have to add another name in there. right?
You could do Gabe Vincent. You could do Jared Vanderbilt. Do a couple different versions of it, but yeah, the money's known. It's not that hard. It's the draft capital. And yeah. The Blazers are a team. We've heard Joe Cronin, and I've talked to him and his front office and people up and down the organization. They don't just want draft capital, which is why they went and traded for Denny Avdia. They want functional, tangible players. Draft capital is good, so you can like make moves later. But like, I don't think they would want just like cast-offs and picks. Like, they would want Rui because Rui's a younger player who kind of fits their timeline and positionally makes sense for them. Like, you could say the same thing about Jared Vanderbilt, that he would make sense for them, but the Lakers probably want to keep one of those guys. So, okay, that's fine. D'Angelo Russell is just not somebody I think meets any kind of criteria for the Trailblazers at all, unless you're trying to find a third team for him as a different landing spot and extracting something from them.
And both those guys, so if you're looking at Jared Vanderbilt, he's got 3 years in a player option remaining on his deal, and that's right around that 10, working up to $13 million. And Rui Hachimura has got 2 years left on his deal at $17 and $18 million piece. And so when you're talking about those timelines, age-wise, they fit. But also, contract length, it's not like it's an expiring deal. After this year, you can work through some stuff this year and then next year, you know, that which is when Portland would realistically be saying, all right, time to pick it up and start moving. It's time to start winning basketball games again. Both of those timelines match up far better than where Portland is at right now with Jeremy Grant.
And so, again, this is the first time I've heard Jeremy Grant being on the table in any kind of reasonable matter of the Blazers entertaining real offers. They are not motivated to move him in the sense of moving him just for the sake of moving him. They want value out of him. And if they don't get it, they're not going to move him.
All right. Let's start hour number two with where the movement or lack of movement by some teams that are contenders may push forward some more Blazers moves as well, because we're talking about that with the Lakers and Jeremy Grant. Are there other names and players that may be available that are going to come up based on some of the moves that have happened so far in the free agent market? This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan.